Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, Differences Between Men and Women, Naturalism, Biblical Archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
There will be no mercy. My sister's only child.
Hanging from a cross.
Joseph.
We need this to end.
We must govern ourselves so that we are never again subjected to Roman justice.
You did nothing of any worth whatsoever.
Your position is reliant on my enforcement.
John, I'm poor, sick in my soul. I'm glad to leave this land.
God has a purpose for each of us. I'm meant to preach.
Keep patience, Stephen. Your time will come.
And didn't Jesus say, I will rebuild this temple in 3 days before he rose from the dead? You condemned him.
Silence him. Shut him up.
Oh, Jesus, receive this will.
An excerpt from episode 5 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. Now, my prediction for this, not being too cynical, but just knowing kind of the way things go when you try and put together a 12-part miniseries based loosely upon the Bible, that basis gets looser and looser the more you go. There's just a tendency when you take poetic, literary, creative license with something like the Bible to let the license take over, and pretty soon the storylines are deviating radically from the original material. So we'll talk about AD, The Bible Continues, parts 5 and 6, this miniseries with Pastor Ted Giese. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After we review 5 and 6 of AD, The Bible Continues, we will be responding to evangelical proof text today, Revelation chapter 20, the first 7 verses, a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Many Christians just by default believe that it has to be a 1,000-year reign here on earth, somewhere before, after, in between all these end time scenarios. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will clear this up for us a little bit later on the program. Then, hour 2 of Issues Etc. will be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 1-year lectionary with Pastor David Peterson. Our call in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or if you are one of our beloved on-demand listeners or one of our listeners who listens live, you can always use the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review episodes 5 and 6 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
There reaches a kind of a tipping point where maybe things begin to fall apart. Have we reached that point yet in the plot lines, plural, of AD, The Bible Continues?
I think for a lot of viewers, it's going to be this fifth and sixth episode where things really start to kind of fall apart. What you find is, like, I went and looked on IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, and the person playing Caiaphas and the person playing Pilate are in all 12 episodes. Well, in Scripture, the high priest does stick around longer than the governor, but they're not all the way through, you know, so it's a little unusual. So they've written additional extra fictional stuff for these characters, and as they've been doing this, they're eating up time that they could be spending on Scripture itself. So people hungry for the gospel, people hungry for the Book of Acts and the gospel being portrayed there, They're going to be constantly having to weed through this other stuff to get to the scriptural stuff. And in the episode 5 here, we talk about first, it was, I think, 35 minutes before it got to anything that was actually in Scripture. So they also had this story of this Boaz the Zealot, which is a fictional story as well. And this particular, this episode 5 is entitled The First Martyr. And there's this very kind of complicating thing that they've included is that this Boaz the Zealot dies in this episode, and so does Stephen at the end of the episode, and they both die as martyrs. So when it says the first martyr, the viewer is left to go, well, which one is it? You know what I mean? Scripture clearly says that Stephen is the first martyr, and there is no Boaz the Zealot in the book of Acts.
Okay, that kind of raises a question of whether or not the extra biblical plot lines that you already mentioned. I mean, we've got Pilate continuing to crucify people, for heaven's sakes, here in this one, which is, I mean, Pilate might well have crucified more people, but it's not recorded in the book of Acts. And then this whole zealot subplot, is it a subplot or is it actually now the plot of the thing?
Well, I would say that it has to be a subplot because by the end of this episode, episode 5, it kind of, it's actually come to a kind of a conclusion. So there's a shift that happens, and in episode 6 you see a little bit of a change in Pilate once that's kind of dealt with. But again, that's all fictional stuff, and it won't go through all 12 episodes, I don't think. It seems like that's dropped off now. But it does create some confusion. One thing, too, that they've done is they've situated the Christians, like the believers in Christ, out in this kind of tent city outside of Jerusalem. That causes all sorts of problems in telling the story that's in the book of Acts because they're not in some tent city outside of Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem. And a lot of the dramatic tension that's developing in the book of Acts, especially up to this point in the telling of the book of Acts, is that they're losing the city. Like, the high priest is worried because they're losing the city to the followers of Christ.
I mean, we've got 3,000 plus on Pentecost Day. Within a month or so, we've got another 5,000 plus. And Jerusalem probably holds, when it's fully packed, you know, maybe 15,000 people. These are mass conversions.
Yes. And you don't get that impression from the way that the Christians are kind of this small, beleaguered group. This is the way it's coming across in this miniseries, and that is not the way it comes across in the book of Acts. And that creates other problems for them as they write this.
So let's talk about you say except for one or two things, both of these episodes are really bad. What are the one or two things that are not part of the really, really bad?
Well, there is kind of this interesting thing that they do. At one point, when they finally get around to talking about what's in Scripture, they do have Peter and the apostles brought before the Sanhedrin, and again, a lot of that's truncated. But then they go to be beaten, right? They're going to be flogged, beaten in public, and unfortunately, Scripture says that they're excited to go get beaten in the name of Christ, that they'd be counted worthy to be beaten in that way. And then they leave happy afterwards. And they don't really do it like that in this. But the one kind of interesting thing that they do is they have Caiaphas reciting kind of a paraphrase out of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 19. So this is kind of like the end of it's part of the Decalogue, right? So, you know, he's saying, you know, like, as they're being whipped, he's saying something to the order of, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do his commandments and you know, his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall be come upon you and overtake you. And that's being read to them, like spoken to them by Caiaphas as they're being beaten. And for me, as I'm watching it, I thought of the formula of Concord, the solid, you know, declaration when in number 5, when it talks about law and gospel, about this idea of, you know, the veil of Moses over, you know, their face, you know, but the apostles have that veil removed. That's what I thought about when I was watching that. That was kind of neat. But overall, you just don't get very many moments like that. Mostly, you're getting, you know, these very, very they just take most of what everyone is saying and they take it out and just have, like, just the tiniest little bit of the scriptural parts left in, and then actually, like, quite a bit of contradictions and other problems they've created for themselves. Like, when it comes to Stephen, maybe we could talk about Stephen now, like, that was very strange the way they dealt with Stephen.
Okay, listen, I want to deal with that in two ways. First of all, did they stick to the character of Stephen as he is portrayed in the Book of Acts? I mean, the Book of Acts, he is one of, if I'm not mistaken, one of the men of good repute is chosen. He's not an apostle. But he ends up, by kind of force of gravity, preaching a farewell sermon. He doesn't know it's going to be his farewell sermon, but it certainly ends up being that. And it's a long, long rehearsal of Old Testament history that ends as all the other Acts sermons, with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Do they get that right?
They don't. Like, I mean, yes, he ends up, you know, briefly saying some things and it gets him stoned. But in Scripture, it's not a brief thing he says. Like you said, it's a long recounting of the Old Testament narrative. And it's really good. They just cut that pretty much right out. It's not there. As to the character of Stephen, he is portrayed as this young, brash, kind of insolent guy who just wants to preach. He's not interested in taking care of the camp where they're living or the Christians there. He's not interested in that. He wants to preach. So that's really weird. Like, and also in Acts, he's appointed along with some other guys. Like, it's this public thing, and in the miniseries, it's just kind of like Peter saying, "I got a little job for you to do. You need to take care of the camp," and that's a little odd as well. Plus, one other thing is in Scripture is very clear about him actually seeing Christ at God's right hand, God the Father's right hand in heaven, and then he sees it, and then he says that he sees it. And they have him saying that he sees it, but they don't have him seeing it, which is weird because they actually have an actor who could play Jesus that they've cast as Jesus in this. They don't show that. They just have him saying that. So they omit that out as well. I'm not sure why they do that. Like, you'd think that they would do that.
The other thing that you mentioned is that, and this is perhaps less than just kind of an annoying point, it's kind of a Nicolas Cage-esque acting levels here when it comes to Stephen.
Well, he's quite over the top. Like he comes off pretty poor. In the next episode, in episode 6, there's a couple other cases where it's really bad with some other actors too. Like this is a little uneven, the acting. Some people have done really well throughout the course of it, and other people aren't doing that well. One of the guys that's doing really well is the guy playing Caiaphas. You know, he's doing, you know, an exceptional job in this. So his name is Richard Corley. He's great. And you know, but Stephen, yeah, he just comes across as, you know, just this insolent kind of jerk, and he in a way, you know, like he's just brash, and he's not this caring, you know, man of good reputation who's upstanding in the community of you know, of believers in Christ, which you get in the Book of Acts.
What else in episode 5 did you want to mention here?
I guess, you know, like it's just the other thing that's problematic about the whole question of which person is the real martyr is the guy who plays this Boaz the Zealot. His death scene is better than Stephen's death scene, which it shouldn't be because he's just some fictional add-on guy. But when he dies, you know, he's got a look of relief and, you know, kind of like happiness. He sees that he's got a fellow zealot who's shooting him with an arrow. And he knows that he's about to die, and he's happy that he's dying the way he's dying. And you don't get that from Stephen's death scene, which is very strange.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. We're reviewing episodes 5 and 6 of the TV miniseries AD. The Bible continues on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 12th. About another 10 minutes with him. Then we will continue our weekly series responding to evangelical proof texts with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in Revelation chapter 20, a 1,000-year reign of Christ. Stay tuned. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
No longer will violence be heard in your lands, nor ruin and destruction within your borders. Your walls shall be called salvation, and your gates praise. No longer will the sun light your days, nor the moon bright your night. You will have the Lord for everlasting light, and your God for your glory.
As a recap of Sunday night's episode of the television miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing episodes 5 and 6 of the TV miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues. And then in the next half hour or so, responding to evangelical proof text, Revelation chapter 20, A Thousand-Year Reign of Christ. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will set us straight on that. A couple other things on episode 5 and then episode 6, if you don't mind, Ted. One of the things you note, as you have all along so far, is that the preaching that is so predominant, so pivotal in Luke's telling of the Acts of the Apostles has been taking some pretty severe hits, and I take it that in episode 5, probably the worst hit of all.
Yeah, I mean, people are going to be, I don't know, like a lot of people who've read Acts, the book of Acts, closely are going to be watching for Stephen's sermon, his farewell sermon, like you said. And then when it's really not there, that's a disappointment. And if you're watching this and you're not super familiar with the book of Acts, please just grab your Bible and read the book of Acts. Like, don't just go by what you're watching on the show. Like, read the book of Acts and see the stuff that's not ending up in here. They do do some good things with Scripture, but not. But those sermons that you'd expect from the book of Acts, they're not really there in the way that they ought to be. In this episode 6, which is called The Persecution, there's this very strange, I guess maybe it's supposed to be a debate. It comes off maybe like one of those epic rap battle kind of phony little things they put on YouTube of historical characters. But there's this this interaction between Saul, who will later be Paul, and Peter, where they're kind of like going back and forth with each other, and it's, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but it's kind of like this preach-off kind of a thing out in this camp, which is completely fictional and really odd. And you know, like when they're wasting time on that kind of stuff, you know, when there's perfectly good things just laying there that they're not dealing with, it's very complicated and strange to me, like as I'm watching it. This sixth episode probably would be one of the ones where there's so much fictional stuff in it, because it's only really covering chapter 8, verses 1 to 3 of the book of Acts.
What actually happens in those three verses? What in the book of Acts itself?
In the book of Acts, those three verses, it says, "And Saul approved of his execution," meaning Stephen's, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. That's it. That is the scriptural basis for the entire episode, which is fine. You could make a whole 45-minute long episode about that, except what they've done is they've got more stuff in there about like some plot to unseat Caiaphas. You know, his father-in-law wants somebody else involved in that, and then there's some more stuff with Pilate connected to that. Plus, you get Herod showing up again. Antipas, you know, he shows up, and there's all this other stuff that has nothing to do with that. Plus, you know, you just have a lot of Saul, who will be Paul later, really with his kind of gruff, poor acting, unfortunately, you know, kind of hollering around at people. And it just doesn't, you know, it's also not happening in the proper order. And again, it's like Scripture has it set in Jerusalem. So like some of the going house to house is happening in Jerusalem, but then there's all of this weird stuff out in the camp that just isn't in Scripture.
What do they add in that is, you know, not so much artistic flourish, but in fact they're trying to inject some pious speculations into it?
Well, they do. Like, one thing is like you just heard in the scriptural text, it doesn't say that it was the apostles that buried Stephen. I mean, but the apostles were devout men, so it could have been, I guess. So the speculation is that Peter and John were the ones who prepared the body and then they buried Stephen. And we heard just as we came in the voice of Peter, and what you have is this kind of when they're preparing the body, you get Isaiah 60:18-19 being recited by them as they're preparing the body, John and Peter, and then as they're taking Stephen's body out to be buried in the wilderness, then it's Isaiah 35:1-2, like the first part of verse 2. And that's the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. So when you have that as they're burying a body, it is pointing towards the resurrection of the body, and that's kind of a good inclusion. So they are doing some of that, and in previous episodes they've had quite a few spots where, and mostly it's been Caiaphas actually, who has been, you know, reciting Scripture as prayers and as laments. And actually in the last episode, there's a strange thing with him and Peter both doing that over the dead body of Boaz the Zealot. But they are injecting into the story scripture from the Old Testament, which would be authentic to the time and authentic to those actual people. They would know scripture well enough to do that. So that is kind of a good element of it, but unfortunately, a lot of that stuff gets lost in the shuffle. One of the things they're doing with this is they set it during Purim, which, you know, should point back to Esther and the persecution of the Jews in Esther, but they just kind of lightly glance on that, and then they don't bother to make that full connection, which again, you know, kind of weakens the whole thing.
Why do you think they're doing this? I mean, I'm not asking you to come down with some sort of judgment on their motivations, but as a consumer of this attempt to put into the film arts the Book of Acts, what do you think's gone wrong here?
I don't know. Like, from our point of view, like, as Lutherans, there's a low view of the sacraments appearing in this. Like, they don't make very much of baptism, really, when you look at the whole thing on a whole. They don't show them regularly, you know, weekly, you know, gathering around Holy Communion, like, within, like, a worship service. They never show any of that. You know, like, they've definitely downgraded the importance of preaching, although they have kind of maintained the importance of Scripture in a lot of ways, although they themselves aren't quoting it verbatim in places where it would be very good for them to do so. So I think maybe, you know, for a Lutheran viewer coming across this, or from people from, you know, traditions that have a really high regard for scriptural inerrancy, then it's going to be, you know, that's going to be the thing that's going to grate the hardest, I think. Like, some people, if you haven't read scripture very carefully, let's say, you might not notice all these changes, but there's the trouble, is that people are going to think that Boaz the Zealot is a character in the Book of Acts when he just isn't, right? So I'm not sure why they're doing all this. I think maybe it's because they have that low view of scripture in terms of the inerrancy. Like, to really hold to it, they seem to have some license, and they seem to think it's okay to make some of these adjustments and changes and cut things out.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to Responding to Evangelical Proof Text, our ongoing series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, taking up one that is probably, this is understandable how people could misunderstand Revelation chapter 20's reference to a 1,000-year reign of Christ, but if you get the book of Revelation, then you would be better off understanding it as the church has historically understood it. We'll find out how that is right after this. Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
At Concordia Evangelical Lutheran Church of Wilmington, Delaware, our mission is to serve our community by sharing Christian hope. We've been doing this since 1938 and joyfully continue to do so in the 21st century. If you're ever in the city that DuPont Chemical Corporation calls home, or is known by some as the credit card capital of the world, we hope you visit to receive Jesus through His Word and Sacrament. Otherwise, check us out on the web at ConcordiaWilmington.com.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the Fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walked the terrain you walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the Scriptures has been most beneficial to the Church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Whedon June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.